Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. All of us, we do want to achieve our breakthrough, but we have to approach our work with the right mindset. We have to know what kind of effort goes into achieving our breakthrough, achieving our big goal, building a successful business, being the entrepreneur. So that's what we're going to focus on. How do we develop this mindset, and how do we hustle and grind our way towards the success that we're envisioning for ourselves? And today's guest is going to be talking with us about this topic. He is the content coordinator at the Shark Group and a hustler who is currently touring the nation to publicly speak at colleges and universities. He aligned himself with the right people and capitalized on the opportunities that were once dreams. While in the nightlife industry across the New York metro area, he and his team worked with multi-award winning artists such as 50 Cent, Fetty Wap, Jadakiss, Lloyd Banks, Fat Joe, Ja Rule, and many more. Most of those who, honestly, I'm more of a pop guy, but those are really big artists. So today's guest for episode 282 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Matt Labrisse. Matt, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, brother. I'm excited.
Matt, I'm really happy to have you on the show. And for background, Matt and I actually met at one of Damon John's book signings. So it's great to be interviewing you again, Matt, getting to talk with you again. So I really look forward to diving into the mindset, the hustle, everything that it takes to achieve success. But before we do that, I wonder if you can give us some background and what first attracted you to entrepreneurship and what that story looks like.
So, I mean, I could tell you a story from way back. I never knew that I had this entrepreneurial gene inside of me, but I remember going back to maybe I was 10 or 11, 12 years old. I would hang out with a bunch of people that I lived on the same street with, and we wanted to start a restaurant. And this restaurant entailed us to essentially steal from our parents' cabinets and fridges, and we would legit sell their groceries. That is a very true story. But yeah, it goes that far back. It definitely does.
And I mean, that's really interesting. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, you either hear that they went into college, they graduated, they weren't satisfied with their job, and they quit. Or it's like Matt's story, where it's like he was very young, trying to find whatever he could to sell parents' groceries, for instance. I mean, it's really interesting about the mindset. I mean, you can develop it at different times in your life, but the mindset really remains the same. That level of persistence when you there are other people around you who have jobs, they feel like they're more safe. So I'm wondering, Matt, if you could share with us what it's like to have that entrepreneurial mindset, because I know that you mentioned just now that you started very young. You're the content coordination at the Shark Group. So can you just share with us, like, how exactly do we get to develop that mindset of being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, 100%. So the thing that I want to just point out is that it's a different breed, right? Like, entrepreneurs are a different breed. Not everyone is an entrepreneur, and that's totally fine. To each their own. Some people would prefer to be an entrepreneur within a company. So I don't necessarily think that you can create the mindset to become an entrepreneur. I think that you're born with it, right? That's the best way to put it. It's just like, you can, you know, follow Gary Vee and follow Grant Cardone, follow Damon John, and just consume content. But at the end of the day, if you don't have that burning passion inside of you to pursue, you know, a dream or whatever the case is in terms of actually creating your own business, like, it's totally okay.
And you mentioned that burning desire, obviously a key element for the entrepreneurial mindset. One of the things I want to explore a little bit more of that burning desire. Some people, they feel like they have that burning desire, but money gets in the way. That's where you see people getting a job, and maybe some cases they give up on that desire, or other cases they just find it really hard to balance that job and the burning desire. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about maintaining that burning desire even when outside circumstances get tough, or if you feel like regardless of that kind of stuff, like you should just have the burning desire no matter what for it to be truly a burning desire.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we're in this thing called life, right? We're all in this thing called life, and life has some things that you just have to do. Paying bills is one of them, right? And if you live in a place like New York or LA or Miami or Chicago, actually anywhere, you're going to have these bills to pay. Some might be more expensive than others. So I totally understand the whole getting a job thing and having that secure income. I actually recommend that, right? I'm 25 years old and I was blessed with the opportunity to make money for a good portion of my adulthood. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, and the whole point you're getting at is like, don't lose that passion, don't lose that dream just because you have a job. And it's hard, right? Like I can tell you, I work Monday through Saturday for Damon, but I can't lose track of my dream. And, you know, as humans, we're going to go through our ups and downs. All we ever hear about right now is the riches, right? If you go on Instagram, you're seeing everyone's highlight reel. But at the end of the day, there's also that rags story. So that rags to riches does exist. I can't sit here and say that I don't go through my ups and downs. I was literally, it's so funny, I was in Europe for 15 days this summer. I came back, I was on such a high for two straight months. And then when that third month hit, I was like, wait, where did my high go? You know, so like, I don't think there's this perfect formula for maintaining a high. But what I can recommend is like, if you do want to keep momentum, and this is something so simple that works for me, is just continue to take action. And what I mean by continue to take action is make sure that you keep that big goal in mind, but don't let that big goal be your main focus, right? I'm super, super big on focusing on the small wins. Because those small wins combined over time and create that big win, that big goal. So that's the best way that I can describe maintaining that, you know, that mindset or that high or, you know, that driving passion. So if you are working a 9-to-5 or a 10-to-6, whatever the case is, you're working Monday through Friday, make sure you have a couple small things you can do when you get home. And trust me, I know it's tough. You might have an hour commute into a city. Or, you know, whatever the case is, it's definitely tough, but just lining up a couple small actionable things that you can actually get done after work or before work, it makes all the difference.
And I mean, a lot of really interesting insights in there, like maintaining the high, and I feel like taking a vacation can really make an impact. As Matt mentioned, he went to Europe for 15 days. It's interesting you brought up how you like the idea of having a job and also doing your entrepreneur stuff. I mean, I know you work for Damon, and Damon, like, he worked at Red Lobster for a while before he made the full jump to being an entrepreneur. And I mean, you mentioned a lot of key points, like you have commutes, you have other things like that. You mentioned small wins, which I really like. I feel like that's something that a lot of people should be thinking about, but how do you find the energy to continue on your true, I wouldn't say true passion, because like, I feel like you have a lot of fun working with Damon, but how do you work on your business after your work? Like, how do you find the energy to make that happen after, in some cases, could be a long day?
Yeah, so it's tough. I cannot sit here today and say, oh, you know, like, it's all about just having the dream. Like, trust me, I get home and it's 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. And I'm just like, you know what? I just want to eat and go to bed, right? Wow. I'm a human being. Like, I too do get tired. Like, that's just what it is. So what I started to do that really works for me is I started practicing the miracle morning. I read a book by Hal Elrod. And at first I'm like, you know what? I'm not necessarily a morning person, but, you know, as you said in the intro to this episode, it's like I was in nightlife for 7 years of my life, which entailed me to be up until about 4 a.m. each night. So I was more of a night owl as opposed to a morning person. But I was like, you know what? Let me give this book a try. Essentially, what Hal practices and teaches within this book is literally miraculous. So the name Miracle Morning is perfect. And it works for anyone that has a job. So I'm so happy to be able to deliver this insight right now. Basically, what you do is wake up. For instance, I wake up at 5 a.m. every morning. I do five things right off the bat to start my day. I exercise, I meditate, I pray, I show gratitude, and I journal. Getting these five things off of my plate gives me that added time after the day ends, or my work day ends, I should say. So when I get home from work from a 9 to 5 or 10 to 6, my focus isn't on one of those five things which I have laid out as daily goals. And trust me, like, this changes for any and everyone. If someone's listening to this that has children, like, or, you know, has to take care of themselves in terms of laundry and, you know, whatever else, you can plug in whatever goals you have to plug in and just plug them into that Miracle Morning formula. And I think that's the best way to go about being able to focus when you get home from work. And, you know, little practical things like writing a to-do list or, you know, something of the sort definitely does help.
And, I mean, for some people, they think, like, getting up, like, super early is a big commitment for them. And I'm wondering if you could talk about how you were able to do that, especially since you mentioned that you were the complete opposite, a big night owl. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit how you were able to make that shift without feeling groggy in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so let me just put it out there. I do not drink coffee. I do not drink coffee. I am not a caffeine person. So, you know, waking up at 5, it's just like, shit, like I really don't want to. But what I did was I just went cold turkey, right? I usually would typically wake up anywhere from 7:30 to 8. But it's actually so crazy because I didn't set an alarm the first day that I wanted to wake up at 5. And I just told myself for a full week while reading this book was that, all right, Matt, you're going to wake up at 5 starting whatever day it was. Let's just say October 1st for the sake of it. And, you know, it was the last day of September and it was about to be October 1st and no alarm set. I woke up at 5.
Wow.
So it was literally my subliminal mind that was programmed to tell me I need to start waking up at 5. And for 7 days, I did it. And I said, all right, for 7 days, this was not as bad as it sounded. You know, it did not sound, it sounds rough, right? 5 a.m., oh my God, you can get 2 more hours of sleep, 3 more hours of sleep. But it's like, all right, it just wasn't bad. And after a while, I just realized how much more energy I have after work. It didn't make sense because I was on less sleep, but, you know, it turned out to work.
And do you compensate by getting to bed a little earlier, or do you just have one less hour?
So that's a great point. That's something I actually didn't bring up. So you have to set a bedtime, right? And I think everyone should have a bedtime. I am not going to talk bad about people that grind until 4 a.m. because I respect that so much. And I've been there. I've done that. But I think everyone should have a bedtime. Mine's personally 11 to 11:30, you know, at latest it's midnight. Like if I really have something going on, it's just like, I have to get it done. It's like, all right, midnight is the cutoff. But with that said, I try and cut out any screen time. So like cell phones, laptops, TVs, like I try and cut that out by 10 if I'm getting to bed by 11. And that drastically improves sleep. So I personally sleep terrible at night, or I have slept pretty terrible at night. But once I cut out that screen time, it drastically improved my sleep, which drastically improved how I felt throughout the day and essentially gave me more energy to get done what I had to get done.
Wow, that is interesting. I mean, I feel like we're so attached to our screens. So we hear about it, how important it is, but to get off them before bed, it's just so hard to do. And I mean, you're getting up earlier, you're able to do more work, you're really grinding, staying up late. How do we determine what our grind is? Because I feel like we could get distracted very easily and not really do what we're supposed to be doing. So how do we get more clear on what we're supposed to be what our grind should look like?
Yeah, so this question, like, it differs for everyone, but I can give such a clear response to anyone. And I like to work backwards in this sense, right? So what I do very simply is take out a piece of paper. I go super old school with it. I pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and I write down at the top of a piece of paper my main goal. So I'll use the example that I want to speak in the theater at Madison Square Garden in front of 100,000 people. You know, that's a number. I don't even know if 100,000 could fit in there, but, you know, that's the goal, right? And what I do there is deconstruct that main goal. So it's like, all right, what do I have to do to get recognition? I need to brand myself. I need to speak, you know, at smaller conferences first. All those things are, it's the blueprint, right? It's literally the blueprint. And I think the best way is to work backwards. And because everyone knows the main thing they want to accomplish, but your question is, what are essentially the steps to get there? Like, how do you know what to do? What's the grind? And the best way to do it is work backwards. Yeah, that's it.
And I just want you to note that Matt set a really big goal there, and you should definitely be setting more big goals like that publicly. You should be thinking about them, because you could set a goal to speak in front of 100 people, but, I mean, if you set a goal to speak in front of 100,000 people, I mean, we hear about 10x. I don't know what x that is. I'm not doing that around my head. Maybe like 1,000x, something like that, but like, Matt is like, he just gave a really big goal out there. And I really think a lot more people will accomplish a lot more things if they give themselves big goals like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, totally. So that's the thing. Like, you can't shoot small, because if you shoot small and you miss, you essentially land upon something even smaller, right? So it's like, just shoot for the stars, man.
Yeah, I agree. And I was at Podcast Movement in summer, and I got to speak with Victor Menash, who was a guest on Breakthrough Success. And one of the things he said is, if you think small, like, you tend to stay small, something like that. So it's good to really expand those goals and challenge yourself as what is possible. And I mean, for you to say, Matt, a big goal like that, I mean, like, again, like, kudos to you for having a big goal like that. But how did you get to the point where you're able to say these big goals? And obviously, like, creating the blueprint, putting in the work, but how do you say these big goals and set these big goals for yourself instead of settling for something smaller? How does that trigger?
So there's a couple things there. The first, I want to say, it's because I know what I deserve. And that kind of sounds selfish, but I just know what I want out of life. And I think what essentially got me to the point of knowing what I want was failing and succeeding, right? Because I failed a whole bunch of times, and I've succeeded, you know, a good amount of times too. And it's still an ongoing process. You know, I'm generally young, so I hope I fail and succeed a lot more. But yeah, I knew what I wanted. I knew what scale I wanted it on. And I knew what I was passionate about. And what I'm passionate about is impacting the lives of others in the form of different forms of content, such as public speaking, ebooks, general books, podcasts, social media content. Like, all of that stuff really, it just resonated with me. And I can go into a little story. The first time I ever spoke publicly after I graduated college, what impacted me the most that day was the fact that, not that I controlled the room, or not that I was up in front of, 75 people, or, you know, whatever it was. It was the fact that each one of the people that was in the audience came up to me after. That was the impact I had. And yeah, that feeling made me realize, like, I need to do this on a larger scale. So I guess a good answer too to this is just, like, you gotta test the waters. You know, like, if there's something you know that you want to do, like, go out and try it.
Yeah, I really like that advice, because, I mean, if you have never spoken and you're thinking about getting in front of 100,000 people, I mean, it's good to have that goal. But once you get in front of as Matt mentioned, that first audience where maybe 75 people are in there, you have an idea of what it's like. You have an idea of the impact you create. And having that impact and actually seeing it in action only fuels you to go after more. And something important there that I also want to mention, if you ever get a public speaking gig, just as Matt did, continue to stick around after the event, continue to talk with attendees, because that's when you really get to see the impact of your work, and there are certain opportunities that can come your way. So I just wanted to point that out. And I know that you listening to the show, you may have a goal that you feel like it's a big goal. You're wondering why you are not there yet. So getting from where you are now to this goal that you want to accomplish. So Matt, I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to accomplish their biggest goals?
Themselves. That's the best way to put it. It's themselves. And I'm very guilty of this, and that's exactly why I could say it without even having to think about it. I've held myself back countless amounts of times, and people will be like, oh, it's the money, it's this, it's no, it's not any of that. It's yourself. You have limiting beliefs, you know? And yeah, sure, it comes down to confidence and whatnot, but it's like you can't build confidence without trying. You know, I was literally out with a friend of mine, and she was just like, I don't know how to put out an ebook. It's like, but you haven't tried to put out an ebook. Mm. You know, it's crazy. There's just, the best way to put it is that there is no more secret to success. There's no more secret to anything. Like, all of the answers are out there. It's whether or not you're going to put in the time to find it.
A lot of interesting insights, because I feel like we have so much information where you can just look up. I mean, that's what I did for my Twitter audience. I did a lot of research. Of course, I invested in some tools, but they were very low price tools to get to where it is now. But even then, you can do that manually on Twitter, which is what I did for a while to grow my audience. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because that's an example of something where you know, some people would say it's a really impossible goal because they don't know how to do it, but you can do that research to figure it out. And Matt could have come up with, like, you know, a answer like money or lack of time or something like that. But I think it really does boil down to ourselves, and it's important for us to not blame any outside factors. We can just, I mean, if it's time, you can just delegate things. If it's money, go out and make more. I feel like at the end, it really does boil down to ourselves, and it's no surprise that Matt came up with that answer so quickly. And I mean, I know that you mentioned yourself as like the big thing, and I feel like that's true for a lot of us as well. But one of the things that's also true is that in our journeys, we face several challenges throughout our time together. So with that in mind, Matt, I wonder if you could share with us one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, man, I've faced a lot of challenges, and I think, you know, a very notable one was I pretty much had the mindset that money was going to define my success. And it wasn't until a very notable name, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, however you want to call him, he had a TED Talk, and, you know, I was just on YouTube. I came across it. I think that it might have been like, I was probably 2-3 years ago. It might have been 2015. And in that TED Talk, he mentioned the term legacy over currency, right? And at that point in my life, I was just living it the complete opposite way. So it was very challenging for me to grasp that. And it's just so crazy that it stuck around, that one quote stuck around in my head for so long. And essentially, if I didn't hear that at that point, I wouldn't be working for Damon today. And the reason I say that is because I had to work for Damon for free for 10 months. And this was the absolute most challenging thing for me at that time, because I was just all about making money. I'm a natural born hustler. You could put me anywhere in the world and I will find a way to make money. That's just the way I am. I don't know if it's because I'm from New York or if it's because I'm from Queens. That's the way I was raised. I really don't know. But to give my services away for free, or to give, you know, just to put in work for free, was the most challenging thing. But what I want to say is, when you are faced with those type of challenges, you come out with great reward, right? And now I'm here today working with Damon for 2.5 years. And yeah, it was all because of that challenge.
And I mean, it is interesting where, I mean, money is definitely an important part of life, but it's not necessarily everything. So, I mean, Matt, I mean, I could see like a lot of like having that job with Damon first 10 months, not receiving any money, but I'm sure all the experiences. And now, I mean, like you look at it and you're very happy with the decision you made, but it has a very interesting point that you bring up, thinking about life beyond money, thinking about what kind of impact do I want to leave? What kind of work do I want to do? And another thing that I want to talk about, I mean, you mentioned earlier The Miracle Morning. We had a fun conversation about that because I feel like that is a very important book, and I feel like a lot of people have recommended it in the past. I've listened to the audiobook. So with books in mind, I'm wondering if you can share 3 books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I love reading, and I don't want to give the books that everyone's going to, you know, if you ask this question to 10 people, they'll all give you the same answers. Obviously, there's the notable ones, which I'll just go through really quick. Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, I don't want to give you those answers. I want to give you the books that people might not have heard about. One in particular is probably my favorite book I've ever read. It's called The Energy Bus by John Gordon. Absolutely phenomenal book. It's super quick and easy to read. Another one that's super quick and easy to read, which kind of drastically changed my life as well, is called Who Moved My Cheese? These are super short books that really get the point across real quick with no fluff. And the third I'm going to have to say is The Magic of Thinking Big. Now, please forgive me. I don't know the author's name off the top of my head. But this book is 300 pages with jam-packed information and insight that is applicable to everyone. And yeah, those three are very, very good books.
Matt, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. We'll throw those in the show notes, marketbrain.com/E282. I know what book you're talking about, The Magic of Thinking Big. I'm not sure if Schwartz was the author. Like, I think it's, I mean, that's a total guess, just educated guess. But either way, the author of that book and everything else you need will be in the show notes of this episode. We'll also throw in Content Marketing Secrets in there because there's an audiobook of that book available for anyone who is interested. And before we wrap up this episode, Matt, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think a great question that I always find helpful is, how do you deal with failure? And listen, there's people that will avoid failure in life, but it's those failures that essentially turn into successes because you learn, right? And everyone deals with it differently. So I think it's really good to hear different people's opinions on that question.
Matt, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Matt, you can check out his site. That will be in the show notes. And he's also, as we mentioned like very early in the show, he's touring colleges and universities. So if you know someone who is looking for a speaker for a college or university, or you are in that position where you can make that decision for who to bring in as your next speaker, I strongly recommend Matt. He's got a lot of great insights for you. Matt, where else can we find you for anyone who wants to learn even more and consider having you speak at their college or university?
For sure. I'm very grateful you mentioned my site. So my site's mattlabrice.com. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at MATT_LEBRIS. And I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn, just Matt LaBrice.
Matt, thank you so much for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Mark, thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me. Very grateful for the opportunity.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgoberti.com/PD.